The 2004 results for tests taken in 2003 showed American students making only marginal improvements over the 2000 results, which showed the American labor force to be weaker in science than those of its peer countries. The Associated Press reported December 4, 2004, that American 8th graders had improved their scores in science and math since 1995, when the test first was given, but their math improvement came mainly between 1995 and 1999, and not in recent years. The rising scores of American 8th graders in science was an improvement over 1999, and it lifted the United States to a higher ranking relative to other countries. The worrying news, though, was that the scores of the American 4th graders were stagnant, neither improving nor declining in science or math since 1995. As a result, they slipped in the international rankings as other countries made gains. Asian countries are setting the pace in advanced science and math. Ina Mullis, co-director of the International Study Center at Boston College, which manages the study, told the AP, "As one example, 44% of 8th graders in Singapore scored at the most advanced level in math, as did 38% in Taiwan. Only 7% in the United States did." No wonder there is not a major company that I interviewed for this audio program that is not investing significantly in research and development abroad. It is not follow the money, it is follow the brains. "Science and math are the universal language of technology," said Tracy Kuhn, Intel's director of corporate affairs, who oversees the company's efforts to improve science education. "They drive technology and our standards of living. Unless our kids grow up knowing that universal language, they will not be able to compete. We are not in the business of manufacturing somewhere else. This is a company that was founded here, but we have two raw materials. Sand, which we have a ready supply of, and talent, which we don't. Silicon comes from sand." "We looked at two things," she continued. "We looked at the fact that in disciplines that were relevant to our industry, the number of U.S. students graduating at the master's and Ph.D. levels was declining in absolute numbers and relative to other countries. In our K-12, we were doing okay at the fourth grade level. We were doing middle of the road in the 8th grade, and by the 12th grade, we were hovering near the bottom in international tests related to math. So the longer kids were in school, the dumber they were getting. You have teachers turning off kids because they were not trained. You know the old saw about the football coach teaching science? People who do not have the ability to make this accessible and gripping for kids." "One of the problems in remedying the situation," said Kuhn, "is the fact that education in America is relatively decentralized and fragmented. If Intel goes to India or China or Jordan and introduces a teacher education program for making science more interesting, it can get into schools all over the country at once. In America, the public schools are overseen by 50 different state governments. While Intel does sponsor research at the university level that will benefit its own product development, it is growing increasingly concerned about the feeder system into those universities and the job market." "Have we seen any change here?" "No, not really," said Kuhn. "So Intel has been lobbying the INS for an increase in the number of advanced foreign engineers allowed into the United States on temporary work visas." "Intel has to go where the IQ is. Remember," she repeated, "Intel's chips are made from just two things, sand and brains. Right now, the brains are the problem. We will need a stronger and more supportive immigration system if we want to hire the people who want to stay here. Otherwise, we will go where they are." "What are the alternatives?" "I am not talking about data programmers or people with BS degrees in computer science. We are talking about high-end specialized engineering. We have just started a whole engineering function in Russia where engineers have wonderful training. And talk about underemployed. We are beefing that up. Why wouldn't you?" "Wait a minute. Didn't we win the Cold War? If one of America's premier technology companies feels compelled to meet its engineering needs by going to the broken-down former Soviet Union, where the only thing that seems to work is old-school math and science education, then we've got a quiet little crisis on our hands. One cannot stress enough the fact that in the flat world, the frontiers of knowledge get pushed out farther and farther, faster and faster. Therefore, companies need the brain power that can not only reach the new frontiers, but push them still farther. That is where the breakthrough drugs and software and hardware products are going to be found. And America either needs to be training that brain power itself or importing it from somewhere else, or ideally, both, if it wants to dominate the 21st century the way it dominated the 20th. And that simply is not happening. "There are two things that worry me right now," said Richard A. Rashid, the director of research for Microsoft. "One is the fact that we have really dramatically shut down the pipeline of very smart people coming to the United States. If you believe that we have the greatest research universities and opportunities, it all has to be driven by IQ. In trying to create processes that protect the country from undesirables, the government has done a much better job of keeping out desirables. A really significant fraction of the top people graduated from our universities in science and engineering were not born here, but stayed here and created the businesses and became the professors that were engines for our economic growth. We want these people. In a world where IQ is one of the most important commodities, you want to get as many smart people as you can." "Second," said Rashid, "we have done a very poor job of conveying to kids the value of science and technology as a career choice that will make the world a better place. Engineering and science is what led to so many improvements in our lives. But you talk to K through 12 kids about changing the world, and they don't look at computer science as a career that's going to be a great thing. The amazing thing is that it is hard to get women into computer science now, and getting worse. Young women in junior high are told this is a really wretched lifestyle. As a result, we are not getting enough students through our systems who want to be computer scientists and engineers. And if we cut the flow from abroad, the confluence of those two will potentially put us in a very difficult position 10 or 15 years from now. It is a pipeline process. It won't come to roost right away. But 15 or 20 years from now, you'll find you don't have the people and the energy in these areas where you need them." From Richard Rashid at Microsoft in the Northwest to Tracy Kuhn at Intel in Silicon Valley to Shirley Ann Jackson at Rensselaer on the East Coast, the people who understand these issues the best and are closest to them have the same message. Because it takes 15 years to create a scientist or advanced engineer, starting from when that young man or woman first gets hooked on science and math in elementary school, we should be embarking on an all-hands-on-deck, no-holds-barred, no-budget-too-large crash program for science and engineering education immediately. The fact that we are not doing so is our quiet crisis. Scientists and engineers don't grow on trees. They have to be educated through a long process. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this really is rocket science.